I'm Lillian Voskis with Lifestyles on KBCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll talk with another mayor from the Inland Empire as part of our Mayor's Movie Moment segment. This time, I'll speak with the mayor of Big Bear, Randy Putz. We'll talk about movies, and then he'll share about a few new developments in the city of Big Bear Lake. Also on the program, we'll learn about a new law that's affecting California residents, including seniors and those with disabilities who receive SSI. They may now be eligible for CalFresh benefits. I'll speak with Andrea Chavez with the Riverside County Department of Social Services. My conversation with Mayor Randall Putz and Andrea Chavez is coming up next, right after the NPR newscast. This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Andrea Chavez. She is with the Riverside County Department of Public Social Service. There's a new California law in place that allows seniors and those with disabilities who receive SSI, which is Supplemental Security Income, they may now apply for CalFresh benefits. So welcome to the show, and tell me what CalFresh benefits is and how it works.
Hi, Lillian. Thank you for having me today. CalFresh, as it's known in California, is a federal program called Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, in other states called SNAP. The program provides monthly food benefits to individuals and families with low income. So CalFresh, it allows families and individuals to stretch their budget and afford healthy foods. And the amount a household receives is dependent on its size, countable income, and monthly expenses. Benefits are issued on a monthly card, similar to the way a debit card works.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a great program to help, you know, individuals stretch their family dollar.
And how does one apply?
Well, right now we are accepting applications, and there are various ways to apply. The easy way to apply is online through getcalfresh.org. Again, that's getcalfresh.org. And you can complete the application in 10 minutes. And it can be done from your computer, a tablet, a mobile phone. Otherwise, if, you know, one's not comfortable with using the online service, you can come in or call our office and we can mail you an application.
Now, I know you're speaking on behalf of the Riverside County, but I'm assuming that San Bernardino County, it's any county in the state of California where individuals will be entitled to this once they apply. Is that correct?
That is correct. And you can actually use getcalfresh.org to apply for any county in California.
Will this affect other services and benefits the consumer may already be receiving?
No. Most importantly, it's not going to affect the SSI-SSP benefit amount that our customers are currently receiving. There will be no decreases. Everything will remain the same. What this will do is it will supplement what they're currently receiving.
So when you think of someone that might be receiving SSI and perhaps they live in a home where they live with their family, maybe it's an adult, lives with their family, their income might be what qualified for the CalFresh benefit. Are they still entitled to do that, even though maybe the house income makes more money or has a higher income?
Well, when I say household, I'm talking about, or I should say a group of individuals or even an individual that purchases their food together and prepares it. So if you have an individual who's in a house with other people, but they all do their food separately,
mm-hmm.
that individual can apply on their own behalf, and only their income and their expenses will affect their case.
So that would be more in the setting, maybe they live in a group home or in a group house, that would apply, right? Is that what you're referring to?
That's correct, a group home, group house. Or a lot of families these days are shared housing situations, so you would have a couple different houses or generations within a household that do their own thing, they just live together.
So an individual that might be, maybe they're not living in a group home or in a group setting, and they still live with their parents, can that individual that's receiving the SSI apply for it for himself even under that same household environment?
Yes, that individual can apply for themselves even if they live with their parents. Now, there are some eligibility rules that come into place. So if you have a household, let's say it's a mom, dad, and a child. And when I say child, I'm talking about an adult over the age of 22, because that's where that convoluted regulations come into place.
Right.
An adult over 22. And he is disabled,
mm-hmm.
and he purchases and prepares his food separately from his parents, he's eligible for his own case, and only his income will be used.
Got it. Is there a deadline to apply? What information will the person need before applying? Because, you know, sometimes when people go to apply for something and they don't have all their information there and then they have to start back, and we want it to be as successful as possible. What information will that individual that's applying for it need?
When our customers do apply at CalFresh or they come into the office lobby, they're really just filling out an application. The application is basic, ask you questions about your, you know, your name, your address, your social security number. We do ask you about your income, both your unearned income and if you're working, your earnings, self-employment. So you would want to have verifications of those items if they apply to you. But we also ask you questions that will help you with income deduction. So to get that income lower so you can maximize your benefits. So we'll ask you about medical expenses and your shelter. And maybe you have dependent care, both for adults or children. We can accept dependent care as an income deduction. So you would want to have verification of those types of items, too. But if you don't have it when you walk into the office or you go online, don't worry about it. Just put your application in, and our eligibility experts will assist with collecting the information from you.
Oh, great. So then they could submit it, and then maybe it'll trigger, like, we still need this information or you left this out. So it'll get the process started?
Yes, it'll get the process started. It would secure your application date, which will be the date that your aid begins. So just get the application in, just secure that date, and everything else will help you through the rest.
So if people listening to this right now don't really know if they're eligible or not, they should apply for it anyway because it'll trigger something. Your office or the offices throughout the state of California will get back with that individual and say, yes or no, let me help you move forward, or you don't qualify. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's how it works.
Perfect. And what law is this?
That's actually Assembly Bill 1811. 1811 was the bill that reversed what's called cash out. So if you want me to give you a little bit of history of it, I can.
That'd be perfect.
So in 1974, California opted to increase the state supplemental payment instead of administering, at the time it was called food stamps. So what we did was they added an extra $10 and said, okay, well, there's your food stamp portion. We're not going to give you food stamps as part of the SNAP program. And what AB 11 did was reverse that rule so that, one, the SSP portion's untouched, and two, we're not administering it through SSP anymore. Now you can come in and you can actually be eligible to the maximum. And for a household of one is $192 right now, which would be extremely helpful, especially, you know, we have some seniors and some disabled persons on SSI, SSP that they're making the hard choice whether or not they're going to eat or get their medication that they need. This will definitely assist them in that decision-making process.
Wow, that's wonderful. What is the difference between, if you wouldn't mind sharing, SSI and SSP?
SSI is actually the federal program. It's your supplemental security income. So it's not Social Security. I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
Because you do have individuals who receive Social Security, but then you have your SSI. And while it is administered or given by Social Security, it's not Social Security. But it provides cash assistance to individuals who are age blind or disabled and have little or no income. Now, the state supplemental program, which is SSP, is the state program that supplements SSI.
If people don't know if they're eligible for either or, and maybe they're hearing this for the first time, where do they go to get more information in each of the counties? Are you able to speak kind of statewide where they would go?
So for more information on this change and on eligibility, people who are interested can go to calfreshfood.org. And on this page, it'll give you some more information and ways to apply throughout the state. It's an exciting new change. We're excited to have this population be eligible for the first time since 1974 to be able to assist them in meeting their food security. And we just really encourage those, even if you don't know, apply so that we can see what we can do to help you.
Perfect. My guest has been Andrea Chavez. She is with the Riverside County Department of Public Social Services. She has been speaking on behalf of Riverside County, but we've also indicated this is a state law that has passed, so it'll be available to every county in the state of California. For more information about the CalFresh benefit, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. After a quick break, it's my interview with the mayor of Big Bear Lake, and then it's a tribute to one man's father as we celebrate Father's Day on Sunday. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez.
Ah! My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey, this is not
answers.
A test.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
He's looking at you, kid.
My guest is the mayor of Big Bear. So nice to speak with you, and we're going to talk movies. Thanks for being a part of this.
Oh, my pleasure.
One of the things that I think about is movies are a great icebreaker and conversation starter. Plus, I love talking about the movie. So we're going to talk about your five top favorite movies that you selected. And the first one is Star Wars in 1977. It was the original. It was directed by George Lucas, starred Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher. Tell me why this is one of your favorites.
It's iconic for me. I can still see in my mind's eye sitting in the Fox Arlington Theater in Santa Barbara where I grew up and seeing those opening credits roll past on the screen and how it was unlike any movie I had seen at that point, and I was captivated by it.
And so did you follow along the whole series? Have you been a Star Wars fan since?
A moderate fan. I haven't been a fanatical fan, but I certainly enjoy them. But that first Star Wars movie really sticks out in my mind as one that was very, very different.
Well, very good. Let's move on to your next choice. These are in no particular order, but your next one that you have on there is a 1982 movie, and it's Blade Runner. And ironically, it's talking about the future, and the future being Los Angeles 2019. It also starred Harrison Ford and Daryl Hannah. It was directed by Ridley Scott. Why is this on your list?
Again, it was unique. I guess I was drawn at a younger age to the whole sci-fi genre.
Right.
I found aesthetically, visually, it was stunning to me. And I have a design background. I've done various types of design since I was a teen. And those kind of movies that are really well done visually and are just stunning to look at really resonate with me. So that would be another one, not unlike the Star Wars one, which is so unique. This one was unique, too, in its own way.
Well, I've never seen a Star Wars movie, so I can't speak too much of the 1977 version, other than it was the beginning of the whole Star Wars empire, no pun intended. And then Blade Runner I did see because I was a huge Harrison Ford fan, still am. Let's move on to your third one. This one I have not seen, obviously know much about it, but have not seen, and that is Austin Powers in 1997, which was starring Mike Myers and Elizabeth Hurley. Tell me why this is on your list.
There are very few movies that I can or care to watch over again. And this is one of the ones where I can watch it over and over again.
And why is that?
Entertaining, find it very funny. I heard, I don't know if this is true, that Mike Myers wrote it while sitting in the bathtub in sort of one fell swoop, which is intriguing to me as well, that he was able to do that. But very clever, very funny. Different, you know, sort of a period piece, a throwback to the 60s. It was a lot of fun. And again, one I have in my library that I can watch over and over.
This is not my type of humor, but I was watching some of the clips, and it actually is pretty funny. It is very funny, actually. And had you not mentioned it, I would have not gone back to watch the clip. So thank you for introducing Austin Powers to me. Let's talk about your next choice, and that is The Night Before Christmas. It's a 1993 movie written by Tim Burton. Now, I have never seen the movie. My son sees it every year. We have to go into Los Angeles because he loves this movie. Tell me why it's one of your favorites.
A big part that it's good for me is the music.
Oh.
Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo wrote a lot of the songs, are responsible for the music. And actually, a couple of years ago, I went and saw an orchestral version of the movie at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, right.
Where Danny Elfman made a surprise appearance, which was really a cool thing to see. So the music is great. And the animation is unique. It's got a very distinct style. And I really enjoy it. That's another one I can watch over and over again. I usually like to watch that once a year.
I'm guessing around Christmas time.
Or around Halloween. Ah, it kind of goes both ways.
Right.
Because it's about Halloween and Christmas.
All right. Now, your next one is a little different, and I had never heard of it, so I went and watched clips of it. So I'm really interested to know why Free Solo was a 2018 movie. Seems more like a documentary. Tell me what it's about and why this is on your top five.
So it is a documentary, and I believe it won the Academy Award. It did, for Best Documentary Feature this last year. It is about a young man who climbs what they call free solo, where he climbs without any kind of rope or protection or anything like that. And it appeals to me. I've done a little bit of climbing. My daughter is especially into rock climbing. Mm-hmm. So I have an attachment there to it. But it is a really on the edge of your seat kind of movie as he scales for the first time El Capitan in Yosemite. And it's all about how he does that and, frankly, if he's going to live doing it and how he pushes himself. It's really interesting and compelling.
And it also affects those that are around him that love him, whether it's his family or his girlfriend, and the fact that they're part of his climbing and knowing that he could possibly not make it. So it's pretty emotionally driven as well.
Oh, it is. It's a great, great movie, great documentary. And yeah, it brings all kinds of issues. You know, why does he climb the way he does in what some people would say is very risky and very crazy way that he climbs with no protection. If he falls, he's going to die is basically what would happen. And how he works through that emotionally, how it impacts his family. It's very, very interesting. And it's just a thrilling movie to watch, too.
Well, I'm thrilled to chat with you about the movies and your selection of movies. Thank you for sharing those with me. Now, let's talk about something cool, unique, interesting about Big Bear that you would like to share as the mayor of Big Bear.
So in the city of Big Bear Lake, of course, we're up here in the San Bernardino Mountains at 7,000 feet, completely surrounded by national forest. It's a beautiful place to live. It's a beautiful place to visit. And one of the things that we're proud of that the city's been hard at work now for several years is putting in more trail amenities for residents and for visitors. We have several new trails that are actually within the city limits, not to mention all the wonderful trails that are out around us in the National Forest. But trails that help engage people into our natural environment, they're easy to access. Some of them are even ADA compliant, and they go throughout various parts of our city, and they're just lovely to experience, and we're very proud of those. So we continue to do things up here that make it a better and better place for our residents and visitors alike, and is especially connected to the national forest, the natural environment that makes Big Bear so special.
Well, wonderful. I don't know if you can receive us that far up, but we're thrilled that you were participating. We love to talk to people on the mountain. You know, us flatlanders don't get up there that often.
Yes.
Well, thanks for talking with me. It's great to speak with you and learn more about your top favorite movies and what you're proud of in the city of Big Bear. Mayor Randall Putz, thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
It was wonderful. Thank you. As a tribute to Father's Day, Matt Livadieri shares his story featuring his dad.
Oh, my goodness. Who showed up?
How you doing, Pop?
I had a hallway mistake.
I've come over to my dad's house today in West L.A. with one mission.
I'm good. How are you doing? Don't worry.
I need him to record a song on the piano.
So what are your thoughts on today?
And not just any song. This is the song that's going to be my first dance at my wedding. The wedding's in February in Mexico, and my dad won't be able to come. So the plan is to video record him playing the song and have it projected on a screen during my fiancée Christina's and my first dance as newlyweds. My dad hasn't been on a plane in over 8 years, ever since we found out he was displaying signs of Alzheimer's. His memory's been slipping ever since, and as of late, he's been having a particularly hard time tracking with new thoughts. By the time our wedding comes around in February, it's very likely that my dad will have lost most, if not all, of his coherence. So today, I'm here to try to preserve what might be the best chance I have at a tribute before it's too late. My dad's been playing the piano since he was 5, when he discovered he had a natural ability to play whatever he heard on the radio. He could play anything by ear. A gift that was largely ignored for most of his life. That is, until his mind started to slip. He's happier when he's playing music. He remembers things more. He even found his way into a band for adults with dementia. They call themselves the Fifth Dementia. Ask anyone in my family, and they'll tell you, music has saved my dad's life.
Boy, you're bringing back all these old songs in my head. I don't know where they're coming from, but I haven't played in a long, long time.
My dad was 48 when I was born. And throughout my childhood, I was very aware how much older he was than my friend's dad's.
Oh, yeah, it was Elvis. That was perfect.
He didn't care about sports like my friend's dad's did. And I remember always resenting the fact that he never taught me how to throw a spiral. Like somehow the fathering I was receiving was deficient. These days, I see my dad at least once a week and help divide the caretaking duties with my family. But if I'm being honest, I feel far too young to be a parent to my parents already. And it's kind of terrifying. And I'm one of the first and the youngest of my friends who's going through this. But all signs are showing that it's only going to keep getting younger for all of us. For instance, in 1970, the average woman had her first child at 24. Today, a lot of women wait until their late 30s and early 40s. And with the population steadily growing, it's estimated that by 2025, 14% of the elderly population in America will have Alzheimer's. Taking care of our parents at younger and younger ages is the new normal.
For Matt and for Christina, this rendition comes from the heart, and I'm happy to be able to play it for you.
Alzheimer's is a painful experience, but if there is a silver lining, it's that it forces you to live in the present moment, because it's all you ever really get. And in this way, my dad has parented me better than I could have ever imagined. But I still can't throw a spiral. This piece was produced by Matt Lividary as part of the 24-hour radio race from KCRW's Independent Producer Project.
For tonight, I guess that's it.
Matt Lividary is a storyteller. He and his wife were married earlier this year. They played the song at their wedding. There was not a dry eye in the house. That's our show. To hear any past interviews, visit our website at kvcinews.org. Thanks to all who helped to make the show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wadd, Sean Houlihan, Matt Lividary, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Ethan Bortnick provides our theme music. My dad's name is Max Vasquez. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you. Join me next week at the same time for Life Sales with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.